We will be in John chapter 1 this morning, verses 15 through 34. The title of the message is, This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And by way of introduction, which you'll find on the handout there, the Apostle John brings us to the beginning of Christ's public ministry, with John the Baptist announcing him and baptizing him. John the Baptist is a vital figure in Scripture and introduces the Messiah to Israel in all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Dave Guzik wrote, John was probably the last Gospel written, and written in view of what the previous three had already said. This is one reason why John is so different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what we call the synoptic Gospels because they have similar content, but John uses different content not found in the other Gospels. He does some of the same things like John the Baptist. All the Gospels talk about him, but John builds his narrative around a certain set of miracles, seven miracles, and teachings of Christ, and he emphasizes the deity of Christ, and he emphasizes faith in him, and John is the only gospel that says it is written so that men might believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And so John gives us the gospel, and we begin with John's testimony of Christ in verses 15 through 18. So starting in John chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So, when John is preaching, of course, he didn't have microphones, and he is coming in the spirit of Elijah, the Old Testament prophet. And so, when John comes dressed in his odd clothing and he comes out preaching, he cries. He's putting emphasis on this. He's saying, This is the Son of God. This was whom I spake. This is the person that I spake of. And so he's introducing the Messiah to the world, and this is his testimony of Christ. In verse 15, he says, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And that's interesting because John was cousins with Christ. He was cousins with Jesus, and John was born 6 months before Jesus. But he says, Jesus, who's coming, was before me. He's preferred before me because he was before me. So he's talking about the fact that Jesus is eternal. He's God. And that's what John says. The Apostle John starts his gospel with, and we studied that last time we spoke on this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. So John starts out his gospel talking about the fact that Christ is eternal, the eternal Word, the eternal Logos. So when Jesus was robed in human flesh and born of the Virgin Mary, he'd always existed. And so John says he's preferred before me because he was before me, because he's the eternal God. And then in verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received in grace for grace. The Bible Knowledge Commentary, you'll see that in your notes, says because of the fullness of his grace, one blessing after another, literally grace in place of grace, comes to Christians as waves continue to come to the shore. The Christian life is the constant reception of one evidence of God's grace replacing another. And so when he says of his fullness we have received in grace for grace, it's like waves coming to a shore. One grace replaces another. And so here is the Son of God. And then in verse 17, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, there was grace during the times of the time of the law. But when the Bible says, and that's why John says in the verse before it, and grace for grace. So you see, grace came during the law. If you read the Old Testament, we see the grace of God during the time of the law. But when Jesus came, he is the ultimate manifestation of God's grace. He is God's grace. And so the difference between the law and Christ is so different. The economy that the Jews were under during the law and what we're under now in the church, it's so different that John is able to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ truly brought in a dispensation of grace. We are seeing God's grace. And of course, studying the New Testament, we know the differences between the law and the grace of God. But there was grace in the Old Testament. God was working in the Old Testament, but Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of God's grace. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So, when the Bible says no man has seen God at any time, if you go back to the Old Testament and we look in Exodus 33, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. This is God talking to Moses. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, understand this. God is a spirit and God is infinite. And so, God, when he says, you'll see my hand, my hand will cover your face, this is an anthropomorphism. God is saying, in some way, my glory is going to pass by you, and I'm going to cover your face. And he's using hand as an illustration. But God is not literally in the form of a man. He's not a man. Jesus Christ there were pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. Christ appeared in the Old Testament, but he was not actually robed in human flesh until the New Testament, until he was born of the Virgin Mary. So when you're looking at this in the Old Testament and God is saying, I'm going to pass by you, this is God's glory being manifest in the form of light that is passing by Moses. And Moses can't look at it coming forward, just like you couldn't go and stare directly at the sun. If you were right there at the sun, you can't look at it or you'd be burned up. You'd go blind. But he said you can look at the afterglow, essentially. You know, after I pass by, you can look and you can see the afterglow. And when Moses came down from Sinai and the Jews told him, the people of Israel said, cover your face because your face is glowing. Because he had looked at the afterglow after this manifestation, after God had manifested in light and passed by, and his face was glowing. It's like radiation that was coming off of him. So they said, cover your face. So when John says no man hath seen God at any time, understand, no man has seen God's true essence. No man has been able to look straight at God, because they would die. And Moses didn't at that time. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus also said in Luke 24:39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So that's, God is a spirit. Spirits don't have flesh and bones. Spirits are invisible. And so when this is the miracle, this is what John is, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ, and he says, "This is he of whom I spake. This is the Son of God." When he introduced Jesus Christ, it's a miracle that's taking place, because for the first time, God has been robed in human flesh and he's been revealed to people. And everything that God is Jesus Christ. And he's revealing himself to man. And so, again, in reading verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." When the Bible says he's in the bosom of the Father, that's just showing the connection between the Father and the Son. There is only one God. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And again, the Bible says in the New Testament, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there's only one God. But Jesus Christ has revealed God to man, because God, the Son, is robed in human flesh. God is a Trinity. He's a triune God. So there's one God who exists in three eternal persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is showing his oneness with God the Father. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And yet he's also showing his distinction, because he's the Son of God. And so he's saying, "I'm in the bosom of the Father." So they're one in essence, one God. And yet, Jesus distinctly is the Son, and so he's robed in human flesh. So the second thing we're going to look at is John answers the priest and Levites in verses 19 through 23. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness," or excuse me, that's, I'm trying this new thing, so I don't have, I'm reading out of the Bible and I've got it in the slide, so it's I'm having to get used to it. But verse 19, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" So John was very careful to say, "I am not the Christ." "And they ask him, 'What then? Art thou Elijah?' And he saith, 'I am not. Art thou the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" Now, look in there in verse 21, when they ask him, "Are you Elijah?" It was prophesied that Elijah would come before the Messiah, before the day of the Lord. Now, later on, the Bible is going to say that John the Baptist was Elijah, that he came in the spirit of Elijah. But John, what John is saying there is, "I'm not literally Elijah." The Jews thought that Elijah would literally come back, that he would literally return before the Messiah. And it may be that before Jesus comes the second time, that Elijah will actually return to earth. There's some indication in the book of Revelation that Elijah may be one of the prophets, that he may come back. But at this time, they're asking him, "Are you Elijah?" To this very day, the Jews, when they celebrate Passover, they will leave an extra seat, an extra place for Elijah at their Passover, in hopes that he will come through the door and have Passover with them. So the Jews are still looking for Elijah to come back. But John says, "I'm not Elijah." Now, Jesus says he comes in the spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist fulfilled part of that prophecy, but John says, "I'm not the ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm not literally Elijah." So they said, "Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." And then they said in verse 21, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." It was believed by the Jews that there would be this great prophet that would come. And that's connected to the Messiah. And so they say, "Are you that prophet? Are you that prophet?" And John says, "No." Now, John was a prophet, but he's saying, "I'm not that one." And they said, verse 22, they said unto him, "Who art thou?" that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So John says, they say, who are you? Are you Elijah? No. Are you the Messiah? No. Are you that prophet? No. And they say, well, who are you? We got to tell the Pharisees who you are. They sent us. So he says, I am the voice. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's who I am. That's what I fulfill. That's what I'm here to do. Isaiah 43 through 5, the Bible says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So John said, that's me. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to make the rough places plain. I am the voice crying in the wilderness. I'm the man that was prophesied in Isaiah. I've come to prepare the way for Christ. Now we see, number three, the Pharisees question John's authority to baptize in verses 24 through 28. So verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? In other words, they're saying, since you don't have an official title and are not one of these prophesied people, why are you baptizing? What right do you have to baptize? Verse 26, John answered and said, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye do not know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. John says, there's one coming after me. His shoes you're not worthy to unloose. His sandals you're not worthy to tie. He's coming after me. He is preferred before me. And you're asking me what authority I have to baptize. I've told you who I am. I'm the voice. I'm the one prophesied by Isaiah. I'm not one of these people. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not that prophet. But I am the voice. And I have authority to baptize because I'm sent by God. And I'm here to introduce the Messiah. He says, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. And so he's out there baptizing, and they come questioning his authority, and he says, Christ is among you. You don't know him, but he's standing among you, and I'm not worthy to bend down and unloose his shoes. You notice how John diverts their question. Their question is, what about you, John? What authority do you have? And he says, never mind me. The Messiah is standing among you. I'm here to introduce the Messiah to you. So he's pointing them to Christ. He's pointing them to Christ. Then in verse 29, we see that John sees Jesus and announces him as Messiah, verses 29 through 34. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is an amazing thing. He sees Jesus and he introduces him not as the king, but as the lamb. The Jews would sacrifice these lambs every year. And there were always animal sacrifices going on at the temple in Jerusalem. And John says, behold the Lamb of God. So instantly he's letting them picture these animal sacrifices. And he's saying, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The disciples did not understand what Jesus came to do. They didn't understand that he was going to die on the cross. They thought he was going to overthrow the Romans and set up a kingdom. But there was one man on earth that understood what Jesus came to do, and that was John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist, he didn't say, behold the king who's going to set up a kingdom. He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he, verse 30, of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. It's interesting, John says, I knew him not, because he did know him. He was his cousin. Think of this. John was 6 months older. John would have played with Jesus as a child. They would have been together. They would have grown up together. They were cousins. And yet he says, I knew him not. I knew him not. But that he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, of whom, this is verse 33. Well, actually, we need to read verse, let's start in verse 31. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, John said, I didn't know him, except I saw the Spirit descending on him, and God, who sent me to baptize, had told me, the one you see the Spirit descending upon, this is going to be the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Now, think about it. John grew up with Jesus. He played with Jesus. He was around Jesus, and he never realized that his cousin was the Messiah. The only indication he was going to have of who was the Messiah was that the Spirit would descend upon him. And so John is there baptizing, and he sees his cousin coming to be baptized, and perhaps he saw Jesus in the crowd and thought, oh, there's my cousin coming to be baptized. I wonder why he's coming. And then he sees the Spirit descending on Jesus, and he says, my cousin is the Messiah. Wow. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I never would have known it until I saw the Spirit descend upon him. Now, think of John's surprise. Maybe he wasn't shocked. But you think of this. Think of how many people in our world today know Jesus as a great teacher, or know Jesus as a good man, or know Jesus as a famous historic figure, but who don't recognize him as the Son of God. And interestingly, just as the Spirit had to descend on Jesus for John to realize who he was, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit must convict and open our heart so that we can recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior and Messiah. And so today, think of your loved ones, relatives, friends, people that you associate with that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And the Spirit of God has got to open... I'm sorry, I'm getting choked. The Spirit of God has got to open their hearts and has got to show them who the Savior is. And so this morning, let's pray that we can be a witness to those around us. And let's pray that the Spirit of God would open their hearts so that our friends and those that we love and those that we come into contact with might receive the witness and might recognize Jesus as the Messiah, just as John the Baptist recognized his cousin as the Messiah 2,000 years ago. And said to the world, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the opportunity that we have together today on this day when it's bad weather and we have the opportunity together and receive thy word and hear thy word. And I do pray that we would go out and share the gospel with those around us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would open their hearts so that they can believe on the Messiah and recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.